Have the power to know when your power's back on with Orange and Rockland's text alerts. They help you stay in the know about local power outages. Just text OUT to MYORU 69678 and follow the prompts. Messaging and data rates may apply. Orange and Rockland, everything matters.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
All right. It's morphin' time. Dragon Sword.
This is Jason David Frank, and you are listening to This Week in Geek, and it's morphin' time.
What's going on? You are listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. And in today's special discussion episode, which is kind of just taking place because we have a special in-studio guest today. He comes all the way from Boston, Mass. We are joined with a longtime Twig fan. I first met him back at PAX East.
Technology Truths, brought to you by Geico.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at Geico.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Back in 2013, way back when, and he randomly grabbed me on the last day of PAX. He's like, hey, Don, come here for a picture. And I'm like, who and what the fuck are you? And he came over and he introduced himself as Cliva McIver, right?
McVicker.
McVicker, close enough. Fuck you.
because that's how you treat fans and friends. Close enough, fuck you.
Whatever works.
And of course, we're joined in studio by my compatriot, my partriot, my partner in
my
crime.
My partriot.
We're,
new
crime.
Words today, and we're keeping everything in because I don't care.
That's right.
I like these new words. They're great.
I'm just making it up as we go along. So yes, guys, we're here in Twig to talk about something rather big that happened this past week in the world of geekdom, and that is the 25th anniversary of Power Rangers. That's right. On August 28th, 1993, Fox Kids Television brought over the Saban brand's television show that would be known as Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, premiering to, I think, well over 5 million kids at the time across over 100 networks and markets across the United States and around the world. Phenomenal success. Premiered with the episode Day of the Dumpster. And the world pretty much was never the same since. Ever since Jason Lee Scott, a.k.a. Austin St. John, yelled, it's morphin' time. People were used to jumping around in spandex, kicking the crap out of other people in spandex. And we never knew it was a Japanese show until some of the behind-the-scenes stuff started to trickle out many years later.
You say that. My dad walked by and went, what's that Japanese crap?
See, I had no idea. I thought, like, oh my god, this is so cool.
I said, how can you tell? And he goes, it's... the people look different when they're in their costumes. Also, he said, it looks like Godzilla. And, I mean, he wasn't wrong.
No, absolutely not.
But that's like, the show premiered, and I was in... that would have been kindergarten, I think, when it came out for me. Kindergarten, yep. Or grade one. And, you know, it was a staple of 3:30 p.m. I would get home from school. That's the first thing I would watch. Because remember, the first was a couple seasons were Monday to Friday.
Yep. Yeah. For the first little bit, it wasn't until when I watched it. I used to watch it every morning on Global Television in Canada, which was a local affiliate. I wouldn't call it a Fox affiliate, but they pulled a lot of their programming from Fox.
Yeah, they did some simulcasting back in the day.
So I'd watch it at 8 o'clock in the morning. My dad would be a very kind man and would basically taped the episodes for me, and I could watch the rest when I got home. So it was just a fun time to talk about Power Rangers here on the show. And the reason Cleva came with us today to talk about it is he cosplays as the green Dino Charge Ranger, right?
Right.
And I thought that was so cool. And we've been talking about it just back and forth. You actually helped me complete my Legacy collection, which I actually have them all now. I'm missing the metallic pink.
Yeah, I can see them right there on the shelf.
Which is just, I'm so excited. And the fact that Power Morphicon had just happened. Alex got me into the Sentai last year with Q Ranger. And he also got me into Kamen Rider X-Aid. So Alex has been my gateway to everything in the East.
Basically, Mike was unaware that fan subbing existed.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a thing. I thought unless it was official, you couldn't get it.
And generally how the fan subbing groups work is if a title gets announced, let's say through Shout Factory or somebody, they will immediately pull whatever they have down. So they only provide what you can't get any other way, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and it's been wonderful thanks to companies like Shout Factory who've been releasing the old dubs, or sorry, not the old dubs, the old subtitles and updated subtitles for other series like Jew Ranger, I want to say, is one of them. They did Gokiger, I think.
Basically, they're taking the original versions of the Sentai that were adapted into the Power Rangers shows that we currently got, and they're showing the original versions just with brand new subtitles. I think Jetman is coming out, and that's the only one they have that wasn't actually adapted into a Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And actually, Jetman was they made a pilot for Jetman. That was what was going to come out before Mighty Morphin.
Is that what you showed me one night?
Yeah, where they and a lot of the characters' names and everything were retooled for what we know as Mighty Morphin. Because I think that it's like a 5-minute pilot that was released online. There is apparently a full pilot of one of the earlier shows from, like, the late 70s that Saban had made in, like, 1980 or 81, I think with Marvel. And that one hasn't ever been shown publicly.
That's really cool.
I was looking into it. But, yeah, Jetman, there is a sort of pilot where they cut footage together from it. Mm-hmm. And there is an English dub of that show, but it was Southeast Asia, like where the Philippines.
Call it like Bio Man or something, or Bio something?
Yeah, or is that Bio Man that was created? There's a few that they've adapted or that had dubs, but they're always the Southeast Asia dubs. So very Englishy, if that makes any sense. Very monotone sounding, and they're hard to come by now online. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that we didn't realize as kids that there were, you know, nearly 20 years worth of material before we even got Power Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching this, like I said, on Global/the Fox Kids Network and being utterly enthralled by it. At that time, I started getting into karate because of it.
Oh, yeah,
same. I wanted to be a Power Ranger. And I just thought it was so cool. So I took Shotan Karate for like two or three years. Eventually, I got to, I think it was Red Belt or Orange Stripe. It wasn't very high up on the totem pole. It's basically, once we started getting into aerial shit, I'm like, yeah, I can't. I'm a fat kid. I'm not jump kicking anything.
You got enough to chop a mofo. Just
exactly. I knew enough to cause some damage, and I won a tournament. I got third place in the Kumite, not the same one as Jean-Claude Van Damme, which would have been awesome.
Now, ultimately, think about it. It ran Monday to Friday. It was the kid's soap opera.
Pretty much. And yeah, they actually had a running storyline through the first season where Rita was trying to figure out who the Power Rangers were, trying to disrupt their lives. We saw the original Dinozords eventually get destroyed. And then in season two, when they adapted a new season of Sentai, we saw the Thunderzords and the Shogun Megazord come out. And we're like, holy crap, now powered by the power of thunder. But they still kept the original costumes, with the only exception being Tommy, who became the White Ranger because the Green Ranger powers were gone.
And I mean, always within the limitations of what the original Sentai was, you know, you ran out of footage, unless in the case of like a Lord Zedd, you weren't making a new character or bringing them back. Very similar to like anybody that remembers watching things like Robotech or Voltron, where they were multiple Japanese shows spliced together in, to make a new American continuity. So that wasn't something that was new. That had been done in the 80s.
Yeah, because I know with, like, Robotech, they adapted Macross, and then it was Southern Cross.
And then wasn't
Genesis Climber Mospita or something?
Yeah, and then Voltron was Go Lion, and then I forget the car one. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, that was something that they had done with anime in the past. So I think Saban just went, well, we can do that.
Yeah, and it worked out marvelously well. I mean, this is a fandom, like, coming back to the fandom, I came back pretty much when you and I started hanging out, because you had all the seasons, and Shout Factory had sent them to me.
Yeah, I had some of the seasons. I still don't have everything, but I had all of Mighty Morphin, and I had Turbo at the time.
Shout Factory had sent me most. I'm the only thing I don't have is RPM... I've got SPD, I don't have Mystic Force, and I don't have some of the Neo Saban, I don't have Samurai or Super.
Well, that's because that's not Shout, that's Lionsgate.
Yeah, so I
anything
I don't
have since he came back.
So, getting back into the fandom, I asked my friend Derek online, and I think you had replied to this thread on Facebook too, Cleva, that what should I watch? Like, I've seen most of Mighty Morphin, but I gave up just before they got Zeo. So I'm thinking, give me something new. I don't want the same five teenagers. And someone had suggested to me RPM, which is the last of the Disney era stuff. And what I got was a mix of the Terminator with Power Rangers. It was
pretty much what that is, yeah.
It's dark. It's people die in it. Like, the world is fucked. Utterly fucked. And it's literally... Yeah, there's maybe a couple thousand people left on Earth. The Vengix virus has taken over. It's only a matter of time before we lose. And it totally just caught me off guard as, this is amazing. And then I started watching SPD, which was Space Patrol Delta, which was not as dark, but it was Power Rangers as civilian cops. And they were fighting monsters, and they fight like robots and all this shit. And it's the first time we saw an evil Power Rangers team that turned of their own accord. They weren't brainwashed. They weren't created. They're like, nope, we want money. We want to be on the winning side for a change. So the A squad from SPD said, nope, we're going to kill the B squad. We're going to work for Emperor Grum. And the galaxy's now ours. Obviously, the B squad won at the end of the day.
It is Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, how hilarious would it be if a Power Rangers ended with everybody dying?
Well, they kind of did.
No, I mean full
RPM.
On, like just lose. Everybody dies, they lose, end of story, end of show.
Well, I was surprised in RPM, sorry, spoilers, it's been out, it's been like almost 10 years now. People die in that show. Right at the end of it, the Gold Ranger dies, the Silver Ranger dies, and they're like, yeah, they've been deleted from the morphing grid. And I'm like, holy crap!
It's so funny that the Super Sentai equivalent of that is Go Onger, and it's a lot brighter of a series. It's not like post-apocalyptic, like everything's bright, everything's great, everyone's happy. It's only at the end of Go Onger where you get to that really dark stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In space, the equivalent, Super Sentai equivalent is Deckeranger. Now, Deckeranger and SPD, mm-hmm. are very similar. Like, they almost follow the storyline, like, to the T, like, exactly. So it's amazing how, like they can just take one Sentai and do it, you know, basically just do the same thing, and another Sentai, they just change it all together.
Well, yeah, just the fact that you can write around that.
Well,
yeah.
Wasn't Time Force one of the ones they altered significantly?
No, Time Force or Time Ranger, the Super Sentai equivalent, is, again, just like SPD Deckeranger, they follow the script or the episode pretty much exactly.
There was one of the series, I thought that was the one that I read online.
Turbo changed drastically?
Turbo was changed.
Well,
yes, Turbo was one of them.
I read something about one of the series actually became popular in Japan, the American series, because it was drastically different and actually better written. And I thought it was Time Force, or it might have been In Space or Lost Galaxy, one of those.
Lost Galaxy is very different from Ginga Man.
Okay.
Like, in Ginga Man, They're all about, it's kind of like a secret village inside, like, these mystical woods where they train warriors and, you know, they connect with these spirit and, like, or galactic beasts. Well, I'll just use the English equivalent. And they connect. And they only come out when their village or the forest is destroyed.
Okay.
By the villain. Again, in Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, this does happen. That village does get destroyed, but they're not floating in space. Like, the Giga Man, they're on Earth. Yeah. So, like, yeah, so it's very different from Giga Man.
So, I'm wondering, like, people that were in charge of, let's say, an individual series Bible as far as making the world in continuity, that's got to be almost more challenging than making a new show from scratch, because you're told, hey, we want it to be different than this, and you've got to work around the footage we already have, and by the way, you've got a shoestring budget to shoot the rest of the scenes that you don't have for your script. So it's kind of amazing how, especially in the first 10, 15 years, how they pulled it off when they were shooting around so many different things before they had a lot of collaboration.
I know one thing Alex told me about, and it sounded more awesome. The Japanese version sounds way cooler. Megaforce and Super Megaforce sounds way cooler because they're pirates and they're fighting angels and demons or some shit.
No, there was another series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's another series we're never going to get because they won't do anything with religion. And it was literally angels and
yeah, they
hell.
Were, yes,
I can't remember the name of it.
Megaforce. I forget the Japanese name of it. Yeah. But yeah, they were all about angels, and I don't know if they mentioned God in any way, but they were like angels
with wings and the halos and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The Super Megaforce equivalent, the Super Sentai equivalent, and Super Megaforce were the pirates where they changed forms to past Rangers. That one is actually a very good Super Sentai if you're looking to get all the Rangers all at once. And even ones you haven't even seen before.
And we, like, what we were watching earlier in the year was Kyo Ranger, which was the Zodiac one.
Yep.
And we didn't quite complete it, did we?
No, we got about 3/4 of the way. I remember Lucky had just had his power orb stolen from him.
And the thing about that show is, as we were watching it, after about 3 or 4 episodes, we went, they're never adapting it. It's too many Rangers. They don't have the budget to even have more than, like, 3 Rangers anymore.
Which is weird, because Bandai America helped design those Zords. They helped design the Zords. Yep.
But that would mean that they'd have to hire 12 people to be in.
No,
every
episode. I understand that.
So, I think budgetary-wise, unless in the next coming couple of years, if it takes off with Hasbro, they're never going to adapt it, because it's too expensive to film new scenes with 12 people. Unless how they work it is... Because they're never really all on the same screen at the same time for the most part.
They could split it up into 2 seasons.
They could, but so many people are still there together. They would have to do something like people can transform into multiple Rangers and only have like 6 people or something that end up having, two
That's
Ranger
possible.
Forms each.
I mean, they could combine their
because
powers.
There are a lot of scenes where every single person's on screen at the same time.
Yeah, but can they do it though? Because Dino Charge had 10 Rangers.
But I'm saying, would they do it with how it looks like they've steadily lowered their budgets every year? So unless there's a big injection of money into it, like if they make the True. Second movie that they're talking about making, if that ends up being wildly successful, I could see them going, here's a bunch of cash.
Yeah.
It's like the 90s again, where we're going to, because Mighty Morphin, after about maybe 50% of the way through, they had to make a lot of episodes themselves. Out of new footage, they even had new costumes made. They had a lot of money because Saban was just pumping cash, and it was such a cash cow with all the merchandise. And I know we're not probably ever going to get to that level again from like 93 to 97.
Yeah,
it's just never really going to happen. The kids don't buy as many toys like that. It's all digital, so I don't know if we're ever going to get that. But it would be a really cool series to have come out.
One of the things that came out of Power Morphicon, which happened in Anaheim, California a couple of weeks ago, or last week rather, they showed off the first trailer for Beast Morphers. We got a really good look at it. It looks like they put some pretty good money into it.
My brother came over yesterday and we watched it, and his first words to me were, how does it look worse than when I watched back in the 90s?
Really? I think they put money into it.
In
I like it's the new costumes.
Three Rangers, so it's cheaper to do. It's cheaper to do that show.
Yeah,
than it is
but
the other ones.
It's also the first episode. You won't see the other ones till later.
I think. Well, I told him. I said, "Here's the thing. It's you're not used to seeing the CG they use. It's because they use CG, and I'll be honest, Japanese cinema is not nearly at the level that it is in Hollywood when it comes to even television show CG. They're just not. They're always about 5 or 6 years behind what everybody else can do. Mm-hmm. So it looks hokier than it would look if they used the real toys like they used to.
Yeah.
And then did some optical effects on it to give it, you know, extra lighting and that. I think it's that if you grew up in the 90s, you're so used to watching... If you didn't watch anything in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. you're so used to watching the toys being used as the actual...
As the models.
As the models, that it's a little off-putting to you to see the CG. I do admit, like, it looks better as far as how crisp it is and HD and everything, but there's almost something to be said about that film grain look where it looked more like a mini movie you were watching, especially the first 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. So I think it's if you've grown up watching the newer stuff, like a younger kid will probably think it's a step up. But to me, coming into the fandom again, it still pales in comparison to what it looked like in the 90s. And that's only because when you switch from, you know, 35mm film to pure digital, it can have a jarring effect on you.
I don't know. I mean, I think it looks pretty cool. The fact that you've only seen three Rangers. Ninja Storm, they've got five, right? Or they grow up to five.
Ninja Storm started with three, added two, and then a sixth one came later.
Yeah, same with RPM. It starts with three, then it grows.
Yeah, and that's part of that is a cheaper way to film because the first half of the season, now that they split everything into two, you know, you only have to pay three actors.
Well, my guarantee, they'll be up to five Rangers by episode five or six.
For Beef Morphers?
Probably.
If I remember, because the Super Sentai is GoBusters, and yes, they start with three. Could I kind of give like a spoiler? Oh, totally.
Well, they're probably going to change a lot of the plot, too.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if anyone who hasn't seen GoBusters, I'm about to spoil, like, the colors of the Rangers that come. So you start with blue, yellow, and red, mm-hmm. and then gold and silver come later. So, and I haven't watched GoBusters myself, but I want to. I'm actually really interested in it. I don't know if there's a sixth Ranger, mm-hmm. but I want to say there is because I have seen some GoBuster movies, and there is some like other creature that fights with them.
That's something that we don't get over here. We don't get the big event Sentai stuff. Like, for example, this as of this recording, the 25th anniversary just aired. In Japan, they get Power Rangers Sentai Kamen Rider crossover movies all the time.
Oh yeah, at least
we don't get them.
At least like 3 or 4 a year.
Yeah, you get one usually with the previous team. You get one that's just their own team, and then you get a crossover with whatever else is airing during their superhero time or whatever they call it.
Yeah, superhero with the Kamen Rider. I think Q Ranger was with X-Aid.
Yeah.
Which I am. Alex, please find that.
Yeah.
Oh, I have seen both those episodes. They're great.
Because it looks cool. And
is that the video game one?
X-Aid?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's the...
Okay, yeah.
He's a doctor, but he also plays video games, and
he plays different genres, and his character changes his look. And we watched the pilot.
Like, this is weird. Cool.
Yeah, it's funny, because now we're talking about Kamen Rider, but
it ties in, because they are very together. They're all, like a... They're always there back-to-back.
Yep.
So it's part of a one-hour package. So,
but they don't exist in the same universe, but they exist
They cross over sometimes, giving no explanation on why or how they do that. But it's usually like a single episode for one. Mm-hmm. Each, like the Super Sentai will be in one episode of Kamen Rider and vice versa.
Yeah.
Usually within the same week.
And now with the 25th anniversary... They put some money into it, but they put it into the cast.
They reached in. They said, "Anybody in the Saban office, reach into your pockets. Whatever you've got, we're going to use that to film it, and the rest we're going to take out of our budget for getting the actors."
Now, someone I was watching a live stream of this, and I said this out on Twitter. It looks like Great Value Shattered Grid, and that's the Walmart brand of Pop.
It did not air in Canada.
No,
it's
weeks behind even on Teletoon.
Crazy, like to the point where even if you have the Nick channel in Canada,
nope,
they weren't going to air it.
Nick Channel in Canada doesn't air Power Rangers, period.
Yeah.
Which is so dumb.
Because does it...
it's Teletoon. Teletoon has the rights to it.
So, and they had nothing. So I had to catch a YouTube stream that somebody put up. Because it's really the only way to watch it in Canada.
Which is so dumb. Because as far as I knew, Teletoon was right up to date with Super Ninja Steel. But I guess they're weeks behind.
Well, I don't know if they're weeks behind or if it's a matter of they're waiting till Sunday to air it.
I wonder the
regular time slot.
I'm gonna set my PVR and find out.
Because I think it airs on Sundays here.
It's either Saturdays or Sundays. It's one or the other.
And it like my impression here's the thing. I don't want to sound like a downer, but for somebody who's watched Power Rangers off and on for years, this looked like the cheapest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Someone described it to me as this on Twitter, and I think it makes sense. Have you seen it yet?
The 25th anniversary?
Yeah.
No, I have not, because I'm currently on vacation right now, so I don't really have access to it.
Here's the thing. I liked it from a nostalgic point of view. There's a couple aspects in it, so we don't want to go into too much. We don't spoil it for him. There's aspects of it that I like. The problem was they fit the amount of plot that would be in, let's say, an MMPR five-part arc. They fit that into 21 minutes. Including credits.
Yeah, they crammed
that. That is a mistake that I think they are making, is making it a 22-minute episode. Because even previous season, we had Legendary Battle.
Yeah.
That
was a two-parter.
Aired, I believe, on TV as a 22-minute episode also. But then later, they came out with an extended.
But if you watch it, it's like a sitcom. Every 30 seconds, there's a plot point happening in this.
Really?
To the point where they don't have... There's no sense of danger. They just... It's like... Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's like set piece. Character. I thought I was going to get a seizure watching it.
Someone said it's like this, because you'll understand this and you'll probably get it. It's better than Legendary Battle, about on par with Once a Ranger... and not as good as Forever Red.
As far as I can tell, it's 99% new footage. But what that meant was, hey, we wrote enough stuff to fill 5 episodes, but we're going to give you $50,000 to film the whole thing. The special effects, to me, honestly, looked like high school kids did it.
From a prop standpoint...
Props were good.
One of the neat things they did is, evidently, I read this in a fan group, so take this with a grain of salt. Tommy has this new morpher, which can switch between Dragon Zord, White Tiger Zord, Zeo, and Black Dino Thunder. And that was a fan design, they used it.
Let me start. I always find it hilarious that he was the Red Turbo Ranger, but people never acknowledge that he was the Red Turbo Ranger.
Yeah. Nope, we're peacing out also, of this.
I find that hilarious every single time.
Yeah,
because didn't TJ become the Red Turbo?
TJ became the new Red Turbo Ranger. But every time you bring up Tommy and all of his different powers, if you see like fan art, it's always green, white, red Zeo, and Black Dino Thunder. And now, thanks to Boom Comics, you see Lord Draken in that image, but you never really see Red Turbo.
Because we want to forget
the bastard stepchild.
They want to forget the movie exists. That's why.
Which the movie's actually canon.
But here's,
unlike the first movie.
Here's the thing. Okay, now the props they used were good. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
Some of the costumes were good. Some of the costumes, a lot of green screen. A lot of really bad early, like the CG effects looked worse. Worse than they would have in the 90s, some of the stuff, like layering of it. It was amateur hour CG, but the most egregious part of this is the dye job they did to Tommy's hair. I know he's in his late 40s now, he's going to be gray, but maybe dye his hair a color closer to what his hair actually looked like. He looks like shoe polish.
One of the things that I liked about this, and this is such a nod to, I think, his appearance in Zeo or Turbo, he's coming out of the truck.
We don't want to give away too much.
Oh, this is just the first 2 minutes. So as far as I'm concerned, that's
cool. Which is about 90 minutes worth of plot in anything else.
So he comes out of his truck. He's walking up to his house. He's talking on the phone to his wife. We don't know who it is. Presumably it's Catherine. And he's like, oh yeah, JJ, I'll be home in just a minute. He's talking to his son. So they're acknowledging the son in the show. So the son is canon. That, I thought, was a nice touch. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to spoil it anymore for you. Maybe we'll watch it after we're done.
Because I think this. That intro part was actually part of the clips they released for promotional footage. So
yeah, so hopefully there'll be an extended cut, because I think Jason David Frank put a crap ton of his Instagram stuff up.
Even if it's an extended cut, what I'm worried about is the extended cut going to be still as rapid fire? Like, it, I literally thought I was like, some kids are going to get seizures from how much flashing is going on in this.
Well, some of the kids are not going to know who some of these people are.
99% of the people, they don't explain who any of them are.
We'll know who they are.
No, I don't know, because I talk to a lot of people who have children, you know, and they watch it on Netflix, and they go back and it's like, yeah, I'm watching Mighty Morphin now with my kid, and my kid loves it. So, like, yeah. I've talked to people who are in that situation. I don't have a kid myself, but I've talked to people who've gone back to past seasons to check out Ninja Storm or SPD, you know, or Mighty Morphin. So kids may know who these. What is
I
it?
Think
it's
a Ninja Storm cameo
would
have been cool.
But 50% of the people that they bring back don't speak and are off in the corner and not really on screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the yeah. ones I can remember that they come back.
Don't spoil
sure.
it.
The only one that matters to me.
I know who the 10 are, so yeah. you're not spoiling.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve Cardenas gets a line or two, which is okay. nice.
One line.
Catherine. No.
What?
He gets two. I counted. I went back and rewatched.
He counted.
But the two lines consist of one full sentence.
Catherine, Coda from Dino Charge.
Oh, I thought, really?
Wes okay. from Time Force. Gemma from RPM.
Some people have age.
TJ from In Space has aged remarkably gracefully.
Some people have.
Trent from Dino Thunder, the white.
Yep, yeah. yep. Dino Thunder.
Who else?
Gia from Megaforce.
Yep, Gia from Megaforce. Who else am I missing?
Gemma from RPM, the
yep.
silver one.
Yep, so she was in it. And they actually use the Megaforce costume, but not the Super Megaforce costume for Gia, which I thought was kind of nice.
Really?
So they were plucking them from different points in the timeline.
Okay, that's weird.
So yeah, so no more spoilers.
So yeah, but they do explain why certain things are certain ways, and I thought that was kind of neat for people like us who are going to nitpick the shit out of it.
Oh yeah, and here's the thing, I'm not even nitpicking. From somebody, if I showed this to my brother, who was he's 6 years younger than me, was an avid watcher from Turbo up until... I guess when Tommy came back the first time.
So Dino Thunder.
Yep.
Yeah. If I showed this to him, he would just be laughing the entire time of how bad it was. So you're super into it because you're reading the comics. I think you're letting a lot of things slide, Mike.
Oh,
this,
absolutely.
This is, in my mind, the worst episode of Power Rangers I've ever seen. That being really? Said,
ooh.
Yeah, I will stand by it. It's the worst.
Like, ever?
Ever.
Wow.
I don't know. I can think of some pretty terrible
episodes.
No, from a production standpoint, it's just horrendous. That being said, the fanboy in me is still squeeing and laughing and thinking it's awesome.
Well, I think that's what they're going for. Is they're going to be like, you have, what was it, 10? So you have 16 Rangers on screen now. So.
But I talked to Mike before when I first got here today, and I said, dude, the problem I have with it, the biggest problem is, it's like they're slapping you in the face. This is a 25th anniversary. Any other show that would have a 25th anniversary would have millions of dollars spent on.
Yeah,
on
I'll
it.
Admit, this
they
should have been an hour
nothing.
Special.
Like,
no, I agree with that.
Not even an hour special. Put money into it. This is a multi-billion dollar property.
Truth
Saban made. Saban sold the company and made $500 million, and he couldn't even inject $2 million to produce this. If the budget were to come out for this and they said it's anything over $100,000 for the whole production, they'd be lying or embezzling the money. It's that, it is high school production value level. We watched that that fan made video of
Bat in the Sun,
yeah, with Scorpion versus White Ranger,
yeah,
and that fan made video had 10 times the production values that this had.
That was a good video. Yeah,
so you're telling me that they made it for free. Like, basically, production values of nil. Probably interns producing it. And that looked 10 times better than this show that was aired on prime time on one of the biggest cable networks for children in the world, and you couldn't inject any money into a show that's been on for 25 years?
If I was going to redo the 25th anniversary special, I wouldn't do Great Value Shattered Grid. I would give you discount Shattered Grid because
no,
I could.
But
put money into
it. At least put the money they used to put in the 90s into it. Like, yeah. how like, this is such a huge money-making thing for them. And I honestly, I blame the fans. the fans are used to seeing them just throw things out there cheaply, that nobody's really going to complain. Everybody's just going to be like, oh, this is fantastic and great. No, if this was any other property in any other fandom, people would go, that's unacceptable. As for, like, we've been loyal for 25 years. Give us something worth watching. Don't just it looked like they filmed it at Comic-Con, and they just gathered people together and filmed it on a green screen.
I will say their choices of Rangers were a little weird for some of them.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just Gia from Megaforce? Really?
There's a gap of like 10 years worth where they had nobody represented.
Yeah.
I think they're selecting a lot of popular Rangers. And you brought up Gia. Gia, if you check like her Instagram...
Oh, she's stupid popular.
She does a lot of Power Ranger work. Just like JDF, he's all into the Green Ranger stuff. Mm-hmm. Gia is all into the Yellow Ranger, you know, Megaforce, Super Megaforce. So if you look her Instagram, you know, she was in that that trailer for the
Legacy Wars thing.
The Ryu Ranger. Yeah, she was in that with JDF. Those two were the only two actors shown not wearing a suit. You didn't see Erin, who played Jen from
Scott. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't see her. You didn't see like anyone else. You just saw those two. So
it just kind of surprised because I didn't know she was popular.
She's very popular.
Which I'm great. I'm very thankful for the actors that have stayed very active in the fandom, like Steve Cardenas. Well, pretty sure. Does a lot of stuff. You always see Jason David Frank. You've mentioned Gia does a lot of stuff. I see her Instagram is popular. I see, what's the guy who plays Justin? Blake Foster?
Blake Foster, yep.
He does a lot of conventions that I can tell. David Yost does a lot. Walter Jones does a lot.
But you know what? Here's my question. If you were going to, you know what would have been cheap too? Having a lot of the other popular people, they could have had them do a Skype call and had them do some sort of conversation like, do you know where... you know, so-and-so is part of the plot. They could have done some sort of call-in thing if they couldn't get them to fly out. It just seemed sort of lopsided who was represented.
You know who I wanted to see? And this is going to be really weird. What's the name of the Ninja Steel robot? Just Redbot?
Redbot.
Yeah, Redbot. I would have loved to have seen Alpha 5.
You didn't want Ninjor in this?
That would have been cool, too.
There's a lot of robots. There's what's the one from Megaforce? Robo Knight.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Here, the biggest,
or the Blue Centaurian from Turbo.
The biggest crime of this, I would have forgiven a lot of things. Like, and here's the thing. I'm happy that it was created. I'm just disappointed
It wasn't as cool as it could
have been. It just wasn't as cool. I felt it was a little offensive at what they thought would pass as a tribute for a 25th anniversary. No Balkan Skull.
Yeah, because we haven't seen them since
Samurai. Not even a line, not even a throwaway, not even anything. They could have been on the phone with somebody. Like nothing? Like, we're talking probably two of the more popular characters ever, and they've come back from
multiple series. And Paul Schreier does a lot for this fandom.
He's just like Gia. You know, he's heavily into
there
Power
was nobody
Rangers.
From any... There wasn't any of the comic relief from any of the series in this, and that was a big part of a lot of the series, were the comic relief. Not a single person showed up, and no Bulk and Skull at all.
I would take them over Vic and Monty. I hate Vic and Monty.
Yeah, I can understand that. I like Ninja Steel, but yeah, every fart joke, food throwing scene, I'm like, this could be filled with plot.
Because a 25th anniversary show without the Bulk and Skull theme music is just a waste.
I would have liked to have just heard one ay-ay-ay-ay. Because I think that would have been cool to have them. The dimensions are in danger. We brought our friend Robot, who understands it, and have Mick, Redbot, and Alpha 5 work together, even for just a minute.
Have Saban call in a favor and have, you know,
David Fielding do a voice.
Have Bryan Cranston run across the screen streaking or something.
Now, would you want Alpha 5 or Alpha 6 or a higher number than that? Maybe like a future Alpha, like say Alpha 30.
That would have been cool too. Yeah. Just to maybe see, I'm working with the Time Force Academy now, and blah, right. blah 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 blah. That would have been cool.
You know how they should have ended the show, and they didn't. But they should have ended it with a montage of showing very quickly going through all the Rangers morph, like their character, their pictures, profiles when they morph, just showing all the Rangers over the years.
That would have been a neat way to do credits.
To do like over the credits, do 30 seconds of just quick flashes, a few frames each. Until you get to present, and then you finish it showing off what's coming next year.
You know what would have been a great way or a great inclusion in the 25th anniversary. The Hyperforce Rangers are canon. Put them on screen canon. I know Andre the Black Nerd, he's not going to be doing karate moves anytime, but the girl that plays Vesper,
she's good.
Just get her a stunt double.
But again, it sounds like they really
didn't want to
or think about it or put a lot of... There wasn't a whole lot of effort put into this. Like, holy shit, it's the 25th anniversary.
We got Saban 6 months.
Saban is effectively done after this season.
Yeah.
So he's like, here. But like, he could have just added a zero onto the check when he wrote the production budget,
maybe,
and it would have been fine.
They forgot a zero.
They thought they were periods, not commas. So, like, what are we gonna do with $100? Hire the high school kid to do it.
But I mean, other cool things that have happened with this fandom. I mean, obviously we've been ragging on the 25th. One of the neater things that come out of Power Morphicon is Hasbro is taking over the toy license next year. They'll be showing off stuff at Toy Fair in February. But we got a preview for the Lightning Collection. The Lightning Collection is meant to replace Bandai's Legacy Collection, which retails for about $20, give or take. And they look pretty cool. They're in scale with the Marvel Legends stuff. I've shown Alex, I'm a huge Marvel Legends fan. I'm a huge Legacy fan.
I'll give it one thing. People complained about the Bandai not having control, blah, 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 and all the designs were already produced. Forget that. From a logistics standpoint, you're going to have a lot more Hasbro toys in stock, in stores, very rarely going out of stock.
Yep.
Easier to stock because they have the supply chain. They're the biggest producer of action figures
in
North America.
And hopefully we won't get short
and
pack problems.
They're still made in China and everything, but they just produce on a much larger scale. Like, what did Bandai have here? Other than that,
they
used
to have Gundam,
but I mean, they've really in stores. If you walk into a store, they had basically nothing except for Rangers.
Maybe Digimon. Was Digimon a Bandai thing?
I don't know.
So exactly, if you can't think of it, they really had almost nothing. So when they would run out almost immediately of your favorite toy, and you might never get it, the aftermarket sword.
Yeah,
this is, you know, even Mattel would have been a better choice to have because it's just a lot easier when you've got one of the top two toy companies manufacturers in North America stocking it. You're probably going to see way more on shelves for cheaper deals, much more aggressive marketing. They already, like, these are toy lines that they have a lot more. They know more action figures, at least in North America. Now Bandai is still a monster in Japan.
Yeah,
it's just they've really never penetrated our market. So I think that, you know, Hasbro having Transformers, G.I. Joe, and then Power Rangers is going to be really big.
You also have My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there, you've got that. Like, you're going to probably find every single store that could possibly sell these toys, or they're going to push them next year hard.
Oh, yeah. Like, Toy Fair is going to look amazing, because we'll probably have the first two waves of the Lightning Collection will be showing off in February. We'll see the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive we'll know by June.
Well, and because, you know, even though Toys R Us is gone in the States, it's still booming strong up here. When you go into a Toys R Us, a third of their action figure section is sponsored by Hasbro.
Yeah, it's...
So they own sections of the stores.
So, yeah, because it's like Star Wars, Marvel, and ponies.
Yeah. So not only that, they have a much stronger presence on Amazon. So for people like yourself, where you're not necessarily going to the store all the time, you're not going to be looking at aftermarket prices.
Yeah, for example, buying the Legacy figures on Amazon, pain in the ass.
Especially in Canada.
Shit. Oh, yeah. Canada gets right screwed.
No, that's true. I remember when I was trying to get the Blue Zio, Green Zio off Amazon, they were like $30 or even higher than
that.
Oh,
they're
that.
50
yeah.
here.
Oh, easy. What was it? Your morphers are like $300-$400 here now.
Yeah. If I want a Legacy Morpher, just the ordinary one that had the 5 power coins, I'm looking at about $300.
Wow.
And whereas they were blowing them out at Toys R Us last month.
That's aftermarket shipping, so add an additional $20 of shipping.
Yeah. So yeah, I got right screwed on that, which sucks. But hey, I
got
a wheelchair.
Which won't happen with Hasbro.
No. Like, I'm really...
Like, when was the last time you heard of Hasbro running out?
I've heard of things get short-packed, like certain figures.
But you're never going weeks without receiving a new toy in the store.
The problem is, it'll come down to the individual stores, because this is the problem you run into with Star Wars collecting. Certain figures will sit on pegs forever. Same with Power Rangers. Usually it's the girl figures that sit on pegs.
When I go to Target now, it's weird. I tried so hard to find the blue Dino Thunder, the red Dino Thunder, and the gold Zeo, the legacy figures. I can go to Target right now and find those three exact figures on the shelf. It's so weird. It literally takes me months from when they're starting to hit shelves. I think they started in, like, California first.
Yep.
And then they go to the East Coast. I'm from Boston. So, but yeah, it takes months from...
Which is funny. How it works here is Vancouver gets it because Port City.
Or Toronto.
I was going to say, Vancouver gets it, or at the same time, Toronto gets it, and then they spread out from there. So we're fairly lucky in that we're...
Right in the middle.
We're densely populated here. So we'll get it, but when something would run out, you might wait weeks.
Sometimes months, and people will scalp.
And then you'll wait like a year or two, and then the dollar store will get them.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah, because like the Power Rangers movie figures, they're blowing them out at $4 a piece. I got a Morpher, which Toys R Us wanted $35 for this thing 2 weeks ago, but I got it from you for $5.
They liquidate them from either grocery stores or Walmart. But like Costco or anybody else, they'll liquidate them into the dollar stores here. So they'll seasonally, like every couple months, you'll go in and it'll be, oh, now there's Ghostbusters, or oh, now there's this. Star Wars was the big one.
Yeah, Star Wars got a lot of Rogue One, a lot of Force Awakens toys. Right now, I will say this. I do not like the secondary market for Power Rangers as a whole. The fandom knows when to rip you off. For legacy figures, for example, I am not paying $150 for a green Tommy. Bite my ass.
See, now I feel a little strange because I had the green Psycho legacy figure. Mm-hmm. Was a Comic-Con exclusive.
Yep.
I think at the Boom.
Yeah,
booth.
Yeah, yep. Okay. Boom booth.
I didn't go to San Diego Comic-Con, but I want this figure. I love the legacy figures. I'll admit, I went on eBay and I paid.
How much?
Do you really want to admit it?
80.
What was the markup? About $30? About $50 for the figure?
What did Boom Studios?
I want to say they were 50.
I want to say they were 45. Yeah, okay. Let's say 45, 50.
Now, okay. Are we talking? Remember, Mike, we're talking Canadian dollars, right?
Yeah,
So you got to.
Well, I'm speaking American. Yeah. $80 American.
$80 American. So that's about 110 here.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know if I could pay that.
Okay, so they were like $45 at San Diego Comic Con. I paid 80. So that's at least double. Right there, and
so someone knows they're making money off.
And but like, the person I bought it from, not to give any information about that, they were from Massachusetts. I'm from Massachusetts. I swear to God, they were probably like half an hour drive away from me. You know, it's just
did
like,
you pay for shipping?
I don't know. I think it was free.
Okay, well that's not terrible in that case, but still, at the same time, I saw people flipping Lord Draken online for $150+.
And when I see that, like I'm somebody, I've gone through fandoms of collecting. When I see prices like that, I go, guess I'm just not going to be a collector. Screw that.
See, I feel like I have the Lord Draken on pre-order because I like, again, that's a Polymorphicon exclusive, and I didn't go to Polymorphicon. But you could pay a non-attendee ticket price to get the Lord Draken legacy figure.
There were people who were buying those legacy figures because you could. If you got, like, a gold-level membership, you could buy up to 10 of them.
Yeah, which is stupid. Like, why do you need 10 unless you're going to ship it?
Well, here's the thing. They know that they're just selling the scalpers, and they don't care.
Which kind of makes me mad. And I obviously know free market capitalism. Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You should be able to make money however you wish.
See, now, Entertainment Earth did the silver Psycho figure, and that I did pre-order. I pre-ordered two of them, one for me, one for my buddy. For $45 a piece. They were selling those for $45 a piece at the booth. So, like, that's not as bad. But the Green Psycho, I paid 80. I'll just say it. I threw down $100 for that Lord Draken figure, which I haven't received yet. I should receive next week. But still, that's $100 for a figure. And, like, a lot of people are probably listening to this saying, you're crazy. Like, spend your money on something else.
I see that and I go, it's a toy. How much are you going to play with it?
That's the thing. I'm not going to play with it. I am going to put it on my shelf with the other Legacy figures. You're going to look pretty next to your other versions of Tommy.
I mean, if that makes you happy, cool. It's when it becomes an obsession, like hoarding, where you see people that like have caked their entire place just top to bottom with toys, and it's like, at that point, can you really enjoy it? So as long as it's something that is maintainable and you get value out of having it, I'm all game. Go ahead, do it. Mm. It's when it becomes an obsession just to have the piece of plastic.
It makes me sad because I love a Lord Draken. I'd love a green Tommy. Fortunately, GameStop and Entertainment Earth is putting certain figures on pre-order right now.
Yeah, they added a lot.
So I can get my green Tommy at retail price.
Really?
Thank God I waited. And I had my friend Jen in the States. Jen, you're a beautiful, beautiful woman, and I love you. And she's going to help me get Tommy, but I'll never own that Lord Draken, and I just have to make peace with that, which sucks because I love that design.
See, now, okay, you say you want Lord Draken as a legacy figure. Hasbro just announced
they'll do it.
What do you want? Do you want the Lightning version or you want the Legacy version?
I'd rather have the Lightning version because the Lord Draken Legacy supposedly has quality control issues, where it's really loose and really floopy.
That's,
and I'm not paying $100 for.
If you look at Bandai stuff like the Gundams they put out, they're kind of known for having things be a little.
It's inconsistent.
Evil, like their high end stuff is generally pretty well made, but there's just different standards. Like they make them to be posed. They don't make them to be played with. Where Hasbro makes toys to be played with, so it'll probably stand up to a little more bending or you know, constant use. So that's just a difference in quality standards.
Did Bandai lose that quality because they knew they were going to get rid of the Power Rangers license and they just didn't care?
I think it's across the board of all their toys. They've never had the best quality control.
Yeah, I guess. I can't really say because, like, what else did Bandai make? I have no idea.
The Gundam robots.
I'm not a Gundam collector. I wish I was, which is weird because, like,
I have a lot of robot spirits, but they're pretty cool. What I gave up.
My roommate's pretty into them, and they're delicate creatures. For the money you're spending on them, they're a little too flimsy.
Because you've seen my robot spirits. They're good, but at $50 a piece.
Yeah, he imports from Hobby Link Japan, and he puts them together, and I'm like, they're so flimsy. Like,
you got to be careful.
Like, and the plastics on them are sometimes so thin that
it'll just snap.
You breathe on it the wrong way, and it's going to snap.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, diecast is a lost art. I wish they were diecast.
Absolutely.
But they're not.
I miss diecast figures. But we've kind of talked in circles here for the last little bit. We've talked the Power Rangers fandom for almost an hour today. So I definitely want to thank everybody. Cliva. Thank you for coming up from Boston, man. It's been so many years since I've seen you, and to know that you're so passionate, if I need to call someone, I've got you. And that's fantastic. And just hearing Alex get excited about things again, Alex is introducing you to so much new things.
I like to be the voice of reason when you fangirl out.
You really are. You really are. You keep me in my place. So anyway, guys, until next time, we have been
Alex,
Liva,
and I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, may the power protect you. We'll be back right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net next week, or later on this week, with Twig, the flagship of Stupid.
They've got a power and a force that you've never seen before. Take them down. The power lies on them.
Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi. So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.